Hello and welcome to African Media with me, Daniel Finnan. This week we'll be hearing from a journalist whose undercover work has rocked Ghana. His most recent investigation revealed widespread alleged corruption within the judiciary. He's well known for his use of hidden cameras and disguises, his mission to change society for the better through journalism. RFI spoke to him in an undisclosed location in Accra. Welcome to Anas Aremiyau Anas. Hello.
Hello.
You play many different roles. I wanted to start off with by asking you, are you a journalist, a policeman, or a private investigator?
Well, I am anything that anybody wishes to call me. What is important to me is that I'm able to impact on society in a progressive manner, and I'm able to solve situations within my continent very, very well. So I don't really mind what anybody refers to. You can call me a journalist, you can call me a spy, you can call me a private detective, whatever you want to call me. But I love all those names.
Is Anas one person or many?
Anas is one person on one hand who started something, but Anas now is a brand. It's something that is done by many.
So physically, Anas is one person.
Yes, physically Anas is one person who directs the work. Yes, so it is one person.
But people can think of Anas as many.
Yes, because of the impact and because of the kind of journalism that I embark on. It affects many lives and sometimes it's incredible and people begin to think that it is many people who do that and people have this notion that it's not possible for one person to be able to do it. But I can tell you it's one person. We do everything from the scratch.
Ghana goes to the polls this year. Has corruption in Ghana improved or worsened under President John Mahama?
I'd rather not look at it from a partisan political point of view because I'm not a politician. My work transcends all political parties, but I work as a journalist, and I name shame and jail. I found corruption during the Kufu administration, and I tackled it. I found corruption under the Mills administration, and I tackled it. I found corruption under the Mahama administration, and I tackled it. Corruption would always be there. It's our attitude towards it that makes the difference. And my kind of journalism probably shows this more because it deals with three tenants, naming, shaming, and jailing. And I make sure I follow through it to see that that is done. And perhaps that's what gives the notion that when I'm working within a particular government or within a particular dispensation, it becomes so glaring. However, if you look at it holistically, it is just that as a journalist, you have to keep your eyes opened. And you have to make sure that it doesn't matter the color of any administration, you've got to work. Because my commitment is to the people of Ghana and not to political parties.
Has oil production in Ghana had an effect on corruption, do you think?
Certainly. I mean, the oil has attracted a lot of dubious characters into the country. And it's not just Ghana, but also Nigeria and many other oil-producing countries on the continent. What we have to do, whenever this happens, it must increase our antennas. It must increase our sense of looking for where these bad guys are. I am sure that perhaps many more bad guys would target Ghana and come this year and next year. What we have to do is to make sure that whatever decisions have been taken that we want to use our oil money for, we make sure that we police government.
The effects of your investigation of corruption and alleged corruption within the judiciary are ongoing. Are you satisfied with the results? Has it gone far enough?
Well, I think it's been a very interesting moment. I mean, it started with the story breaking and skepticism as usual, people coming out fighting it, saying that we didn't take the money. And I have always maintained a very cool dispensation or disposition, better still, saying that let time be the judge. And the due process in itself is the way out. Let's give them an opportunity. Let's let them come with their lawyers. Let them come and sit. Let's confront them with the evidence. And let's see who is telling the truth. And I'm glad that this process has gone on. And so far, more than 26 judges have been fired as a result. And they were not fired in the vacuum. I went there, they brought some 7 lawyers, some 8 lawyers. I showed the evidence. I proved whatever the results are must be subjected to critical scrutiny. It must stand the test of the law. And that's what I have gone through. That's why I feel very satisfied that some people have been sacked. There are over 200 judicial staff. We are still going through the process. Many of them have been fired. So it's not just about publishing. No, I don't do journalism to let somebody read the story in his bedroom and be happy. I do journalism to find the effects and to see and to put smiles on the people who put me to that work. That I mean the citizenry. So in my opinion, it's gone pretty well. The people have been given fair opportunities. But some are also complaining that there must be prosecution. Now, the administrative action is different from the prosecution aspect. We are yet to step into the prosecution, and I'm very confident that everybody I named in this judge's scandal will go down because the evidence are impeccable and unimpeachable.
How far will you go in collecting evidence in the name of the public good?
Undercover is a last resort. If there's a conventional way of getting the information, I will not bother. But crime has heightened. It's gone so high that if you don't adopt such measures which shows you the evidence raw, you give room for the bad guys to punch holes into you. And hey, it's not like the West where institutions are developed, where your arms of government, your judiciary, your executive, your legislature are developed and you have institutions that will troubleshoot even the issue. Here on the continent, we have problems. Institutions are not properly developed. The bad guys have a lot of money. They will want to bribe their way through in any process. So a journalist of my kind must adopt measures that will silence them once and for all. And I tell you, if you have the hardcore evidence, if you gather the hardcore evidence, no amount of pressure, no amount of money would put you down. You'll be able to look forward and you'll march confidently because you know you are doing it for the people and you are doing it genuinely for progress of society. So yes, I'll go far as that is the antidote to help nip corruption in the bud in our communities.
Do you ever feel sorry for any of the people you expose?
It's a very difficult question. But look, you've got to be focused. Sometimes the question some of these people ask is that, why me? Many people are doing it. Why it me? I don't select people. Before I go undercover, we have what we call establishing the prima facie evidence. That's what I do. So if I catch somebody committing a crime or having committed a crime on a hidden camera, I catch that person, not because the person has committed it that day, but the person is in the habit of doing that. And it doesn't matter how small or big you are. Once the axe comes, you ought to fall. The point is that corruption must be tackled from all angles. It doesn't matter whether the person is small or big. So it's sometimes difficult and sometimes painful that you are going to take food off the table of a parent. Look at the judges. Some have worked for 25 years. Some have worked for 26 years. But measure it against the public good and ask, how many bribes has this judge taken in his life? Look at rape cases. There was a judge who took money for rape, a judge who took money for land, a judge who took money for armed robbery. When would this, how do I know whether this same armed robbery that this judge has freed would one day not take a gun and come and attack me in his house, in my house? So at the end of the day, it's a public good that is important, no matter how the pain is.
How worried are you about being exposed? Does it keep you up at night?
It's a very uncomfortable feeling to have, living and thinking that the bad guys are always on your heels and they want to expose you. But we put in enough security measures, enough security protocol to ensure that this doesn't happen. But it can sometimes be nervy. It can sometimes really slow down things. So far, we've done our best and we continue to do our best.
What's your favorite disguise?
I love my prosthetics. They work very well. When I wear them, it's very difficult to be able to tell. It gives me, in a day, I can change 4 or 5 faces, and that works for me so well.
What are you working on at the moment? There have been reports of an investigation into a teaching hospital in Kumasi.
I'm doing quite some elaborate investigations, very huge, across the continent, and I'm sure the world will get to see it, and it will air on a major international network. Unfortunately, I'm unable to give you detail, but I can tell you it's hot and stay tuned for it.
Can you tell us which country?
It will be countries, not country, but it will also involve a country in the West.
Can you give us a general theme, maybe?
It's interesting. It's going to be about children, and then it's going to be about some abuse, and then we'll be shocked at the details we will see.
Thank you very much to Anas Aremiyau. Anas.
Thank you so much for this honor.
That's it for this week's African Media. From me, Daniel Finnan, thanks for listening.